house of the Lord? I only heard Julia say that he is happy to be in the house of the Lord. Is anybody else happy to be in the house of the Lord? Or you're just happy in your heart, but it's cold, I can understand. Mama Joe, it's good to see you. And you're going to give you an opportunity to tell us how Kenya is. She just went there briefly and she is here with us. Praise the Lord. I'm really excited what the Lord is doing in our midst. There are certain things that the Lord will do on the background, and he'll do some operations, some surgical works, you know, in any team of believers. And some of those things really they may not be really be able to be seen in the natural realm. I'm really thanking God for revealing himself through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's such an amazing journey when we give ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit. And I think in this past week I had an experience with the Holy Ghost. I would say maybe one of those times I had, you know, completely almost tangible experience with the Holy Spirit as I was on the road. And I mean, he was, I think the Lord just wanted to reveal to me that there's still more. And I feel in my heart that, you know, in the course of our journey to heaven, the Lord will reveal mysteries to us. And he reveals things that you thought you knew, but you didn't know, and bring it in a new dimension. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is a personality. And he's a person. And if we completely yield ourselves to him, he will teach us things that will mesmerize us, that will leave us in awe. I remember I was on the road. I left Dallas like about around maybe 10 in the evening. And I didn't even know how I was going to make it. I was supposed to drive about 6-7 hours. And I was wondering, Lord, unless you energize me, I don't even know how I'm going to do this. But it's very, very interesting. as soon as I got onto the road, the Spirit of God just took over my mind. And he started speaking to me things that I was not even prepared for. And immediately the Holy Spirit told me, pick up a paper and a pen. I normally have a notebook because sometimes, you know, I'll hear some things. And it's always good to have something that you can write on. That way when the Spirit of the Lord speaks something to you, you can always write it down lest you forget. And you can always go back to the things that the Holy Spirit spoke to you, and you can reference to the Word of God to authenticate what he spoke to you. And so I took a small piece of paper, and he was telling me things, and was telling stuff about us, about the church, about my life, about so many things, and I was just writing down. And let me tell you, people say that when you have experiences with God, you know, time loses its significance. I know it is true. When we are so much tuned with the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, time is really insignificant, because it seemed to me like I just left Dallas. And within a very short time, I looked at my, you know, the watch on my, the clock thing on my phone, and it was reading 4 a.m. And I was like, I just feel like I left Dallas. And here I am, I've arrived at my destiny, and I feel so strengthened. I feel like I just want to continue. But at that time, I realized that the Spirit of the Lord takes over. Amen? The Holy Spirit is real. And I remember there was one time, we talked here about the power of the Holy Spirit. And I feel like we need to revisit that and explore some more about who the Holy Spirit is, because he is the one who guides us. The Bible calls him a teacher. He's a wonderful counselor. He comes to teach us and to help us in our undertakings as we continue in this journey. He is our enabler. Praise the Lord. And I hope that every single one of us would have an experience with him, and we'll know him personally, just not just like a ghost that moves from to and from, but to realize him, to see him as a personality who is there to help us. Anyway, that was just a by the way. It's not intended to what, it's not actually lined up to what I was speaking. I remember that last week we started to teach ourselves about spiritual warfare. And we started to talk about the armor of God, and the Spirit of the Lord has been, you know, elaborating this to me more and more even as we go on. And can we allow just to go a little bit slowly just to get into the nitty-gritty of our spiritual warfare? Now, I don't really see myself as an authority, you know, in this subject, but I'm learning from the Holy Spirit. Amen? There are better people who can do this better than me, but I've learned to trust in the Lord that we who have been called are born again, that we can do whatever anybody else can do, we can do, praise the Lord, as long as we release ourselves to the presence of the Lord. And we started talking by checking on the scriptures, you know, in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. And we went also into the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 10, 3 to 6. We were talking about the armor. We didn't even talk about the armor, but we were talking about that we are involved in a spiritual warfare, whether we know it, whether you do not know it. We are constantly engaged in a warfare from a realm that we are not able to see. But I thank God because he has given us an armor. He has given us tools. He has given us spiritual weapons. Praise the Lord. And the Bible calls those weapons mighty in God. Amen? And those weapons are strong. They are divine weapons that can confine any kinds of strongholds. You see there, that the weapons of warfare, the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And this morning, I just want to just go a little bit, maybe go back a little bit, take ourselves back a little bit to see how all this started. Let me tell you, I've learned to recognize that sometimes you assume people know. There are some things I thought I knew and I didn't know, and unless I was able to sit down before, you know, sit down on the feet of some teachers of the word to tell me exactly what happened and to guide me through scripture, I would never have known that some of these things existed. So it is, I think it's very fair for me to just pick by, to start by saying that that Satan, who we know as Lucifer or the devil, used to be an angel of God one time. Praise the Lord. And he used to be adorned with beauty. If you read in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 28, verse 12, and I can ask Sister Lorraine to just open up those scriptures for us so that we can go through very quickly. Just take a little bit history so that we can know what happened. It talks about, son of man, take up a lamentation among the king of Tyre and say unto him, thus says the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum of full of wisdom. Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Can you continue a little bit, Sister Lorraine? Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Every precious stone. Now, this describes how the enemy, how the devil was created. He was created adorned with beauty. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the cumanacore, and the gold. And the workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was so prepared in thee in the day that was thou created. Verse number 14, thou, the anointed cherub. Cherub is like an angel. He was an anointed cherub that covereth. You know, he was a covering cherub. And I have set thee, thou wasn't upon the holy mountain, was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hasn't walked up down in the midst of the stones of fire. In other words, the devil was created as a super angel, as a high angel. He was in charge of music in heaven. And so God adorned him with beauty to minister before the throne of God. And I can imagine, you know, he was going before, you know, before the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. And they would tell him, maybe they would have a conversation. And at one time, the devil felt like, hey, you know what? This adornment that I've been given by the Lord is almost equal to the level of the Almighty God. And he was filled with a heart of rebellion. And so in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 14, 12 to 14, Isaiah 14, 12 and 14, it describes to us how after the devil feeling, you know, feeling so proud of himself and feeling that he was almost equal to God and that he had all everything within his realm to control and to do things as if he was God, there was the Lord decided to throw him out of heaven. For in heaven, the heaven is pure and heaven is a holy place. Heaven is the dwelling place for our God. Praise be to God. Praise the Lord. Are we all together? And so in Isaiah chapter number 14, 12 to 4, can we go there, Sister Lorraine? Isaiah 14, 12 to 14. This is what the Bible says. How art thou fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? The deans, I wish we can have another translator, it's okay. But the deans laid down the nations, and thou saidest in the heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit upon the mount of congregation in the utmost parts of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. What does that sound to you? It's like an abomination. It's like blasphemy. Praise the Lord. This is exactly what Satan said. You know, I will exalt myself like the Most High. I will have the capability like the Most High God. And God, so this, I cannot entertain this in heaven. And so in the book of Revelation, chapter number 12, verses number 7, if we can go there very quickly, I just want to just bring a background so that you know that the devil that we have here in the world used to be adorned with honor. He used to be, in fact, in a scripture also, it says that he had the seal of perfection. In other words, he was made to be perfect so that he would minister before the throne room of God. And so this is what the Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter number 12, verse number 7. It says, now then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon and his angels also fought. In other words, there was war in heaven. Verse number 8. But he could not prevail. And this is exactly what the devil does today. Even among us, when he was thrown here on earth, he is waging war against the believers. He is waging war against you and me. Chances are, if you didn't know about it, this week you have encountered a battle from the enemy. But also, chances are that you never may have recognized that you are being fought from an unseen world. Praise the Lord. So it says, but he could not prevail, and there was no place for them in heaven. Now, what the Bible says is that there were some angels in heaven, a third of the angels in heaven were loyal to Lucifer, who used to be an angel. Remember, mind you, he was created to be one of the leading angels in heaven. We have like Michael, who is an archangel. We have Gabriel, who is also an archangel. And we had Lucifer, who was also a mighty cherub, you know, a covering cherub. And so a third, the Bible says that a third of the angels in heaven joined his camp. And that's why it says this. So the great ground was thrown out of the ancient sub. Can we go to the previous verse, number 8? Verse number 8 says this. Sorry, Sister Elaine. But he could not prevail, and there was no place for them. They're talking about them because this is Lucifer among with the third of the angels that joined his camp in heaven. And so there was no place in them in heaven any longer. Verses number 9. And this is what the Bible says. So the great dragon was thrown out the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the one who deceives the whole world. What is one of the functions that we learn about the devil? He deceives the whole world. He was thrown to, where was the devil thrown to? To earth. In fact, when I came to this point, I said, I was reading of some people who have a mission going to Mars, and I was saying, you know, the people, they are saying that is one, you know, one is like a one way to Mars. Once they go to Mars, you know, they're going to create a habitat. There's no oxygen. The environment is not even conducive, you know, in Mars, you know, for life. And when I read about this, I said, okay, if the dragon was thrown to Earth, it looks like, does also the devil really dwell in Mars? Does he dwell there? I was asking myself a question. But you know, also the Bible says that he rules in the heavenlies. Praise the Lord. And if you remember, if you're here when Pastor Nyongeza was teaching us about there are three heavens, we have the immediate heaven that we are able to explore and see. And we also have the second heaven that hosts the elements of the universe. And we have the third heaven, which is the dwelling of God. So also the enemy might have some dominion over the elements in the universe, because the Bible says that he was thrown on earth. And also elsewhere in the Bible, in the book of Ephesians, it says that we wrestle against principalities in the heavenlies. Praise the Lord. So he might also be dwelling in mercy, even though that's the thing that I was just thinking about it, you know, when I read about this. But he was thrown to earth. I didn't finish that. He was thrown to earth and where was that? He was thrown, where was it? Yeah, he who deceives the whole world. He was thrown to earth and his angels, remember the third of his angels who are loyal to him, were also thrown with him to here, where? Here on earth. Verse number 10. Then the Bible says, it says this. Can we continue? Then war broke. Did we read that? Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah have now come, because the accuser of our brethren has been thrown out, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. Let's go to verse number 11. Let's see what it says. They conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So even though the devil has been thrown here on earth, everybody who has received Jesus as Lord and Savior and they are blood washed, they are able to conquer the devil through the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That is one of the weapons that God has given any generated person. And a generated person is anybody who is blood washed, is a person who has their sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus. You know, when the devil comes to us, even though he may come and try to entice us or to fight us, he sees the blood of Jesus, and that is one of the things that automatically defeats him. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, and for they did not, by the word of their testimony, for they did not love their lives in the face of death. Praise the Lord. So that is the background of what exactly what happened. You see now the devil was a cherub, a very adorned angel. He had precious stones. He was actually made of precious stones. I had even a preacher say that, you know, when he moved or when he did anything, that his body just emanated beautiful music that ministered to the throne of God. He was a covering cherub. But because God adorned him so much with honor and with great integrity and with wisdom, the Bible says that he had a seal of perfection in him. One time he thought that he would ascend and be equal with God. And so that could not be entertained in heaven. And God had to do something to chase him out of heaven. And because he would not entertain, God is a jealous God, and he would not share his glory with anybody. Praise the Lord. And so a war broke up in heaven between Michael and the angels and the Lucifer and his angels. And there was a combat that really ensued in heaven. But the Bible says that he would not defeat them. He was defeated, and like lightning, he was thrown on earth. Now I want you to know that the devil is alive and well here on planet earth. Somebody say hallelujah. Says hallelujah. So you're not supposed to say like you fear. He is here, alive and well, here on earth. And the Bible says, and we're going to read this, that he is now the God, small g, the God of this world. And his mission is to deceive as many. Remember what we talked about last week. That the mission of the devil is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is his mission. Okay? To steal. What is the term that we label anybody who steals? Yeah, so anybody who comes to steal stuff from you, he is a thief. So in other words, the devil is not only a liar as we know him, but he is a thief. Anybody who comes to steal from you, let me tell you, you can tell me, Pastor, you know this, what is the difference between somebody who comes and points a gun at me, Sister Betty, points a gun at me, wants to shoot me and terminate me, And the difference between, what is the difference between that person and a person who notices how you move and whether you are aware and comes and, you know, sneaks on you and steals something from you? That's the difference. See, a thief will never come and bulldoze you. A thief will not come and tell you, hey, I need your watch. But a thief will only, first of all, he will study you. If they want to come and steal from your home, you think a thief will come and steal when you're there? No, anybody who comes to steal from you when you're there is a gangster. Is a robber, is more than a thief. But a thief is sneaky. I think a thief will sneak on you. He will know, okay, Julius and Charity doesn't get to their home until 3 o'clock. And I have observed them. Before a thief comes into your home to steal that television set that you have on your wall on the left-hand side, you remember that where on your near your window? They have studied you. They have seen, okay, this family comes in here this time. And they do that every Monday through Friday. And they decide Tuesday is the day. That they are going to come in. They will sneak on you. They will scheme. They will learn the things that you do. That is exactly the devices of the enemy. The enemy will never come to confront you to tell you, hey, you know what? I want you to sin. He will never do that. He is a thief and he will want to come and sneak on you. Remember what we say, that he is a spiritual being. We may not really see him do it, but the fact that we do not see him, he is there. Are you listening to me? The devil is alive and well because we have seen that when he rebelled against God, he was sent here on earth and he became the God of this earth. Small g. Now this is what the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4, 3 to 4. Please pay attention to this because it's very, very important. And this is what it says. And even our gospel, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, is veiled. This is Paul writing to the Corinthians, and he is telling them, even the gospel that we teach about Jesus being crucified and him coming out of the dead and going and living and staying and seated on the right-hand side of the Father, that gospel, the gospel of truth, the gospel that gives light, has been veiled. And it is veiled only to those who are perishing. Now, who does this? Who provides this veil? It is the devil. This is what the Bible says. In whose case, the God, small g, the God of this world, who is the devil, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of light, who is the image of our Father. Praise the Lord. See, the devil knows exactly what the gospel of light can do. The devil knows who Jesus is. The devil knows exactly who God is. He ministered to him. He knows the immense of his power. He knows what Jesus Christ carries, and he knows what he can do once you submit your life to him, once you surrender your life to him. He knows the immense power that you get because Jesus Christ dwells in you. And so he says this, I will do whatever it takes to put a veil, a curtain to the perishing world. No wonder when you preach the gospel, no wonder you wonder. So have you ever gone into a street and you wonder, why are these people, don't they have really the sense to see that God is alive and well? Why are people so much lost in their sin and they do some perverse things? You hear things in the news and you wonder, how did they ever get to do that? I've heard of people, have you ever heard of a woman who killed the entire family, killed themselves, or a man who just shot the entire family, killed himself? Or even people who do perverse things and you wonder, you as a Christian, now that you have crossed over into the light, it is why it is possible for you to look on the other side and wonder, how do they do that? How can a human being do, have you ever read some news articles and you wonder, surely, can men really degrade themselves this low? How can they do these things? You know? It is because there's a veil. The devil knows the power. And he is in the business. I want to announce to you, and I want you to be aware, that sometimes we as human beings can give up when we try over and over at something. Sometimes there's a propensity for us as human beings to give up at a certain maybe endeavor. But I want you to let you know that the devil's mission is to completely and every time keep going on and going on. He never gives up on the believers. Praise the Lord. And so what he has done is he has put a veil of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and the goodness of God. He has put a curtain round about so that people,
so that the, you know, the gospel provides light and shines and provides a light to the glory of Christ. And the light of the glory of Christ reveals who Christ is, who is the image of an invisible Father. Praise the Lord. So he is a God of this earth, and he is there putting veil, and I put a veil to those who are perishing. Now, that's also the devil tried to do that to you. Number one, I want you to know, as we read in Revelation chapter number 12, verse number 7, and they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb. There's no way the devil will come to put the veil of gospel. You have already received the gospel deep inside you. We have Jesus within you. Are you listening to me? So he will not try to put a curtain. He will use other devices to try to get to you, but the veil is only on the perishing, the people who are ungenerated. But how can these ungenerated souls come to know about the love of our Lord Jesus Christ? They are going to know that because of what we carry ourselves. They are not. How are they going to know? How are they going to hear if somebody doesn't even tell them? Does not know the Bible say that? How are they going to be delivered if we who are generated don't step up into our positions and pray for them so that the veil can be removed? I want to tell you, church, that you and me have the power to remove that veil so that men and women can see the glory of God. If we do not, if we sit on our benches, if we sleep on our benches, beds, and do completely do nothing, the devil is continuing. We shall continue to do, create havoc even in the world today. Remember, he has principalities and he has set up rulers in the heavenly places that are at work every single day to make sure that as many people join him in the place that as he has been prepared for him. So it is the responsibility of you, my sister. It is the responsibility of you, my brother, my responsibility to share the gospel, to live right with God, and also to pray for as many souls. When you kneel down in beside your bed, what do you pray? Let me tell you, a time has come when we have to change the way we pray. And many times for just a regular Christian, when we kneel down and pray, we pray for our families, which is a good thing. We pray for ourselves. We pray for maybe the people that are just in our circle of friends. And within a very short time, we ask, okay, God, what else am I going to pray for? And you kind of like we don't know even what to pray for. But let me tell you, church, we the born-again Christians, we are the people. We carry Jesus in us. And we are the people to pray and break these veils of the devil from the faces of people. Let me tell you, no longer can we blame people when they are lost in sin because they are just serving their master. No wonder we should not even really be surprised when people do perverse things, you know, like in America today. If America, somebody, a preacher said this, if America doesn't really repent before the Lord, then God will have to look to Sodom and Gomorrah and say, Lord, Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm sorry for what I did for you because of the things that are happening in America. Praise the Lord. But you know what? God can change the course of America if the children of God, if the Christians, the born-again Christians, would really recognize the positions that they have and call upon God and remove the veil from the face of America so that it can see God. Hallelujah. What does the Bible says in the book of the book of Proverbs? It says this, that righteousness does what? Exalts us, but sin is a reproach to any nation. Let me tell you, how is America going to be righteous? How is America going to be turned unto the Lord? It comes back to us. We have to pray for this nation. We have to pray for our nations where we come from. We have to continuously pray and call upon God that God may remove the veil of sin over our nations. Hallelujah. Can you shout a big amen? And we have seen that the devil is a god of, he's a god of this world, and his mission is to blind as many minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel. And no wonder the Bible says also in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, 18, that the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to those who are doing what? To those who are perishing. But to those who are saved, it is the power of God. Amen? The preaching for those who are, for those who are perishing, the message of the cross is foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. We need to have mercy for those who are perishing because the light of the gospel has not come to them. But how can we have mercy on them? We cannot just have mercy on them if we just stand still and do nothing. We have to call upon the name of the Lord and say, God, I pray for the souls in Farmers Branch. If you live in Denton, God, I pray for the souls in Denton. I come against the princes of the air around my city. I bind him. I assault any assaults of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Lord, remove. Let me tell you, there is power when you speak with authority like that. And the devil feels it.
God, am I all alone? I feel like I'm preaching to myself. Are you listening to me?
There is power when you speak those words and you speak to the heavenly places.
Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, very, very important. We've heard about how the devil was thrown here on earth. We've heard about how he was a beautiful cherub. We've heard about how he disobeyed God and he was thrown on earth. We've heard about how he is the God of this earth. We've heard about how the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing. It's very, very important. There's no way, church, listen to me. This is very critically very important. We cannot appreciate the invisible world if we do not have faith. Are you listening to me? We cannot appreciate the fact that there is stuff that are taking place right now if we do not. There has to be a bridge that connects us from the visible to the invisible. Are we all together? Let me repeat myself again. We as beings who are generated, born-again Christians, have to connect with the visible, the world that we are able to see, to the world that is invisible. Now, the things that we see came from a world that we cannot see. Amen? The things that have been created, and we're going to read that in a moment. The things that have been created, the flowers, everything that you see, your plans, your future, yourself, you existed somewhere in the invincible world. Amen? And for us to appreciate or to connect with the invincible world, there has to be a bridge that connects us from the world that we are well aware of, that we can sense with our five senses. We can see, we can hear, we can smell, we can touch. For us to go beyond those senses, a realm that we may not really understand, and to appreciate the war that happens in the invincible, we have to seek out a bridge that would connect us, that will cause us to sometimes get into the invincible realm while we are still on the visible realm. And there's no way we can access and appreciate the things that we have in the visible realm unless we really understand what goes on in the invisible realm. So there has to be a way where God has to open up our minds. God has to open up our eyes so that we can be able to perceive what happens and what is going on and have a clear understanding of what happens in the invisible world. Are you understanding? For everything that was created here on earth, listen to what the Bible says. God, this is very important. I wish that we can all get this. And I know you've heard about this, but listen to me. The Bible says here in verse number, Hebrew chapter number 11, verse number 1 to 3. Hebrew chapter 11, verse number 1 to 3. This is what the Bible says. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the proof of things not seen. Faith is the reality of what is hoped for. In other words, it is the reality. It is assurance, complete knowledge that the things that I'm going to hope for are already there. I have no shadow of a doubt that the things that I hope for, or the things that I'm looking forward for, or the things that I hear in the word of the Lord that they are going to happen, I have any doubt in my mind, no iota of doubt that those things are really there. And the proof of what is not seen. You know, that's very difficult. The proof of things not seen. How can you prove that the presence of God is here? It is the evidence, the proof that God is here. We know in the Noah, in our knowledge, in that person inside that God is here, right? Don't we know that? How do you do that?
How did you travel? Now, if you, okay, let me ask you. How many people know that? How many people know that God is here? Okay, and it's okay. Please, if you don't really believe God is here, just lift up your hand. Let me see. If you don't really believe God is here, lift up your hand. Thank you. Now, what caused you? Because you cannot see him physically, right? But what allows you to connect you to an invisible world to know that his evidence is here? What causes you to do that? Thank you. Thank you. Faith. Faith is a bridge that connects us to the invisible world. And just as you know that God is really here, even though you literally cannot see him, we also understand that there are things that are happening in the spiritual realm by the same concept. So bridge, the faith is a bridge that I would cross and peep on and tell God, God, open up my eyes so that I may see whether you're really there. God, I know for sure, even though I cannot physically see you, I know that your presence is right here. And faith is the bridge that leads me there. Now listen, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not hoped for. Now verse number 3, the Bible says this. Now faith is, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of? You agree that? By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of? So that what is seen has been made from things that are not. Okay. So what is seen, whatever we can observe by our own eyes, came from, can you read that, please? So that what is seen has been made from the things that we are not, that are not visible. So what does that mean? It means that everything that you see here on earth, anything that your eyes have an opportunity to see, never just existed from anywhere, but it existed from a realm that we could not see. Now, what does this tell me? That God has my plans. See, I was born at 0 years, right? But God had in the invincible realm my whole years up to what I am right now. If I'm 60, God has seen my years. God saw the 60-year stretch in my life, but it was somewhere existed in the spiritual realm, right? But it has taken time for that plan to be unveiled in your life. It doesn't mean that my life was, God never determined to kill me at 30 because I'm still here. It was never in his plan for you to be killed at 20 because you're here. Okay, how many people are 20 years here? Maybe Ron is really younger than that. But anyway, if you're older than 20, God, in his plan, it was in the invincible realm. The plan of God, the blueprint concerning your life, indicated that you'll still be alive beyond 20 years. Are you listening? What does that tell you? That there are certain things also God has instigated or hold in the spiritual realm that has not yet been manifested, that are still going to come to you. But if only you can wait on God and allow God and tell God, God, give me the propensity to drive, to ride on my bridge of this faith concept, open up my eyes so that I can see the invincible realm concerning my life. There are certain things God has prepared since eternity, since even before you were born, for you, Betty. God prepared Willie. Listen. Yesterday, actually, a few weeks ago, and yesterday also, there's this app, and I know all of you have it. If you don't have it, go get it. Because it's a very good tool to communicate with your loved ones back in whatever part of the world. It is called WhatsApp. Let me tell you, this is really so wonderful. I thank God for the creator of WhatsApp. I thank God for him because he has allowed me to communicate with my nephews, my cousins. And so the other day, my parents, you know, they're old now. And my sister, my younger sister, he saw on one of their wedding photos, the date when they were married, they were actually married 50 years ago, January something. And so my sister WhatsApped me, and she says, you know what? We need to do a 50-year anniversary for our parents. And this is supposed to be a secret. So all these things I could not even know, man, what was it, you know, for WhatsApp. And so we have a group, you know, for all our brothers and my sisters, and everybody contributes and says, oh, that's a good idea, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, cut a long story short, they had this celebration, a mighty celebration. And so, and everybody's connected. Oh, what a nice thing. What a beautiful thing. Let me tell you, I saw some nephews that I have not seen with my eyes for the very first time. And I said, what's up? Thank you. So my sister, she went and snapped a picture of that wedding. You know, the wedding of my dad. You know, the, you know those studio black and white, you know, whereby people, by the way, they used to put on, you know, the coats, you know, the, you know how it is? Those black and whites, you know, of the 1970s, and the way they used to actually, the long, my dad's long, my pants was somewhere there, and it had a turn up, but it is the style of the day. And so he snaps his picture and sends it to me. And let me tell you, I've seen that picture before, but when I saw it this time on the WhatsApp, I said, oh God, I can't believe my dad was so handsome. And my mom was so young. You know, my mom, by the way, got married when I was 16 years old. She was really young. And they're taking in these pictures, and you can see, you know, I say, wow. Actually, my father looks like my younger brother. And I said, this is like my brother Samuel. You know, he's completely copycat when he was young. You know those pictures when you go and you say, like yesterday I was with my friend of mine, and I was seeing a picture of his ID. Sometimes borrow IDs from people here. You'll be wonder how they looked up several years ago. They looked handsome, though. So I looked at that picture, and I said, in 50 years ago, if you had told my mom that out of your womb and out of your seed, you not only have about seven children, and bring up 17 nephews and cousins, they would say, how can that happen? They will not even foresee that. But let me tell you, out of their womb, they have come a doctor, my sister who is a doctor, there has come out a guy who is a pastor in Dallas, Texas. There also came a gangster. There was a guy who was actually killed. He took off his life because he was a gangster. And out there's another guy who is also working somewhere in Nairobi. There's also another daughter who is working somewhere in Nairobi. In other words, there are people who came out different. There's the last one who is jobless right now. You know, if you would have asked my mom, look, would you think... if God would have come and told me, this is what I'm planning to do 50 years from now, this is what is going to happen. But see, what I'm trying to put it, it was existed somewhere in the invisible realm. It was there ordained. Now, yesterday, I saw a picture of my wife sent from through WhatsApp by her sister, a picture of a family picture when she was really young. You know, like she was like 4. And I was looking and she was like... And I said, okay, whenever this picture was taken, because my wife didn't want him, she didn't want me to see it. But I'm looking there at my poor wife, and she is just like, it's like she didn't want to take this picture. But I can see the brothers and the sisters. But many, many years ago, if you would have told her that she would be in Dallas, Texas, and she would have these children, and she would be ministering, it would be a wonder to her. But see, the thing what I'm trying to put it across is everything exists in the unseen realm. It is there for you. The destiny of your children is in the invisible realm. Your plan for your future is in the invisible realm. Everything about our Christianity is in the invisible realm. Are you listening to me? And so all these things are happening in the invisible realm. The devil is in the invisible realm. The angelic beings that are protecting us are in the invisible realm. Everything that we have seen, everything that we cannot see, exists in the invisible realm. It is therefore important for us as children of God to understand this realm. Are you listening to me? And God says that without faith, you can never please him. God will never be pleased if you just come to... God, I've come, so what? He said, I cannot see any faith. Get away from me. He says, I respond to faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped, evidence of things not seen. God looks at your faith and he says, those who come to me must believe that I am God. that I am he, and that I am the rewarder of those who diligently seek me. Those who come to God must present themselves with faith. When I see them, I see faith and I see a connection, because I am invincible to them. And the only way they can appreciate how I can help them is until they cross through the bridge of faith. And now when they come into the bridge of faith, and I'll open up the world to them, and they will be able to appreciate who I am to them. Are you listening to me? Without faith, you cannot please him. Because without faith, there's no way we can access the invincible realm. Without faith, we cannot please him. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Now, about this faith. Do you have faith? How many people believe that they have faith? Thank you. You received faith the moment you surrendered to Jesus. The Bible says in Romans 12:3 that to everybody has received a measure of faith. This is what the Bible says, that you have been saved by grace through. You've been saved by grace through. So if it were not by faith, you would never accept Jesus. And so when you accepted Jesus, he gave you every single one of us. When I look at Christine, you have a certain measure of faith. When I look at Pastor Pachi, she has a certain measure of faith. When I look at Charlie, she has a certain measure. Every single one of us has a measure of faith. Now, you might say, oh, I think, Pastor, when I look at Pastor, I think he has like 5 ounces. And me, just a quarter ounce. Oh, when I look at Alan, the way he's so committed, man, I think that guy has 10 ounces of faith. But listen to me. It doesn't matter what you have. Even the Bible says, as little as a mustard seed. If you have a faith as little as a mustard seed, what can it do? Let me tell you, even if your faith is microscopic, where it has to, we have to use a microscope to discern what it is, as long as it is a chip of God. If you have just an iota of it from the face of God, from the person of God, as long as you have it, it can do wonders. Ah, somebody say a big amen. Amen. So it doesn't matter what, however small it is. However, if you have a faith the size of a mustard seed, and this was a mustard seed, it's very tiny. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? Somebody brought me a mustard seed here in the church, and let me tell you, it's just a tiny, but within it, it has a potential to grow into a very humongous tree. Because within that little faith, there is propensity to do wonders, to conquer the wiles of the devil. So it doesn't matter what you have. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, the Lord said, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted into the sea, and it will obey you. God will respond to faith, no matter how small it is. So don't look about, don't look on what you have, don't look little on the things that God has placed in your life and say, I do not even matter, I cannot achieve anything unless I call Pastor. If your child is sick, I am here to announce to you that you have enough measure of faith. You can call on God, and when he sees faith, he will respond to you. The devil will obey when he gets scared when he sees you, even having the cluest, the littlest of faith. And every believer has a faith that is resident in them. Praise the Lord, somebody. You have faith deposited in your life. Next time somebody comes against you, you don't even have to worry. All you need to do is stand your ground and say, I take power and authority as a child of God. Have not the word of God say that I will step on snakes and scorpions and nothing shall by any means hurt me. I will drink some poisons and they will not kill me. I have faith. I am a son of God. God is responding to me right now, and I'm coming against the wiles of the enemy. I am confronting the schemes of the devil. Devil, you cannot take my child away. You cannot take my business away. You cannot take my wife away. You cannot take my family away, because I'm a child of God. You have what it takes, Ben. You have what it takes, Brother Joe. You have what it takes, Stephen. You have what it takes. You have what it takes. It doesn't matter how little it is. God will respond to that little. And you know what? To you or to other people, it might be looking very small, but what God sees it, he says it's big enough. You remember a story I was telling you about how these days they are building very small cars and putting a lot of horsepower in them? You might look at a small car and you think, oh, you know, you're driving your big, you know, big engine. You think you have a big engine, 8-cylinder, and you're really, you're looking at a small car nowadays. Nowadays, they are packing horsepowers, a lot of horsepowers in little cars. And I tell you, when you're gassing, pressing on the gas pedal finger, you know, who is this small timer? And that car will come past whom you, because in it has residence of some horsepowers. You might be looking at it and ignoring that car, but the residence within it is a lot of horsepowers. That's what happens to a believer. Don't look at a believer. Let me tell you, never dismiss a believer. You're seeing a believer is a no believer is a loser. I am telling you the truth. They might be going down like Ohio. They might even be having some sentimental arguments about faith and what have you. But when God knocks them down, and when they realize they have something in them that they can use called faith, they will get into the breach and they will knock into the invisible door. They will say, you gotta open for me because I need to know what is happening with my son. You need to open for me because I need to understand what's happening with my finances. I know this message is not for everybody, though. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. First Colossians chapter number 1, verse 16. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Praise the Lord. Remember in 2 Kings chapter number 6, 15, 17, this is the servant of Elisha, right? They were surrounded, you know. And this servant of Elisha, he was really worried. He was saying, now, and you know, it's... I know we can blame the servant of Elisha, but we are like the servant of Elisha many times. Oh, Guy Vava, even you actually speaking your language. These are things that are coming. I don't even know how I'm going to pay this. This is the school. Now this is the car. Now it's breaking down. It's like you are surrounded. Are we not like that sometimes? Listen, if it's not really happened to you, it is just a question of when. Things will come like a river. You know, you are hit by things and you wonder, my goodness. Where is it? It's like that flash gate of hell has been opened and unleashed on you. You are confused. Your wife is confused. Your children are also confused. Bills are there. You don't have money. You even look for the change that you normally save in that big bank. There's nothing. You look on your left. You call somebody. Pastor doesn't even pick up your phone. You know. You're calling them your most precious sister that you know. Oh, I know this one. This is my like friend. They don't even return you. Their phone is shut down. Everything is looking so going south. I don't even know why they could say going south. But anyway, everything looks like he's hoi hai in that language. And when you look at everything, you are surrounded. This is what happened to the servant of Elisha. He said, oh God, and he was shaking. What are we going to do? We are just the two of us. And I see they are coming. And I see with their horses. I see their chariots. And they are saying, but you know the servant of God? I look at Matthew 2, Bozzi, man. He knows what is happening. The guy had faith enough. He had already traveled into the invisible realm. You know, and it was like, small time, man. I'm not even worried, God, because I know the Lord, man, is fighting for me. And the Lord already had shown him, you know. When you used to travel in faith into the invisible realm, you're not going to get worried. When people are frustrated and angry about so many things, they will see you smiling. You don't have food in the house, but you know God is going to be your provider. Amen. I know this don't make sense because we are still in our natural. But when we travel in the invisible, including me, we are going to clap whenever we don't have any because God is our provider. Because if only God prayed, the servant of Elisha, Elisha, the man of God prayed and he said, God, please, I pray for you because this guy is almost trying to infect me with fear. How many of you that know that you can infect fear? Do you know, like, if you smile to somebody who is gloomy, they're going to smile back to you? Praise the Lord. They're all gloomy, and they're feeling so bad about something their wife did to them. Or maybe there's something their husband did to them. You just, how are you, my sister? The Lord bless you. How are you doing? That person will say, yeah, Raja, you know. And they'll go like, yeah, I'm fine. And they'll say, you know, the Lord is taking care. It's infectious, you know? So there are people also who can have gloomy face and you are with them and the way they talk, there's a propensity for you to walk just like them because of their attitude. So it's good to watch our attitudes and hang around with people who are always positive in your life, not people who are telling you that you cannot make it.
Praise the Lord, Sister Shai. And I love you. I'm not saying anything about Sister Shai.
But are you listening to what I'm trying to say? You hang around people who are going to be positive to you. People who are going to encourage you. Not every time, oh, did you hear about what Sister so-and-so? Who so what? Shut up. They're a child of God. Don't kneel down and pray for them. Did you hear what happened to brother so-and-so? Oh, they were going this, and they were chasing somebody's cat, and the cat of their cat was chasing somebody's cow, and the cat... Shut up. Can't you just kneel down and pray for them that God will give them a kick? The Bible says that we pray for one another. How is their angel going to be invoked to come and help? You call on angels of God, send them from Australia. There is an angel of Fine is having trouble. And you are here. Hey, have you heard of Sister Fine? You are used by the devil to even tie that angel. You are tying that angel more so that there's no help for her. But God, I refuse to see my sister in this state. I refuse, God. And you can even go like the way I'm going. I refuse, you devil. You're not going to get my sister. You're not going to get my child. You're not going to. You're going to. They're not telling. I'm not going to. No way. In the name of Jesus. Soon, Sister Fanny is going to call you. I don't know just what happened. But you know, something out of the nowhere. This brother came and he gave me exactly what I needed. They just gave me the right information. Why? Because you prayed. You never complained about them. If you know your position, there's no way we can know our position unless we knock on the door of the invincible world. Let us know what is happening to my sister. The Bible says, pray for all saints with diligence continuously. Okay, what was I saying before I went there? Okay, the Elijah. So, thank you. So, 2 Kings chapter number 6. Elijah told them, I don't like the way this guy is coming with trembling with fear because if he's, I know I've seen the angels of God and I've seen a lot of chariots, but the way he is trembling is causing me to fear. So he told him, God, please open up his eyes. Give him some faith, Lord. Create a bridge for him because he really needs to get into the invisible realm so that he can see what is happening in the spiritual. And in immediately, the Lord brought down a bridge and Gehazi stepped on it and he started walking on the bridge. I'm not very sure. I still see what I see with my eyes. God help us. And immediately he gets to the door of the invisible world because of the prayer of Elisha. He knocks down there and God opened up his spiritual eyes. And you know what? When he saw that, he was mesmerized by what he saw. Because he saw, the Bible says that he saw a chariot of fire surrounding them. Child of God, listen, when you think that you are under the earth and you are under torment and everything is against you, there is a chariots of fire that are surrounding you. All you need to do is to rejoice and tell God, God, open. Please, God, if you do not do anything, open up my eyes so that I may see. And the Lord will give you confidence. You may not really see them with your naked eyes, but you see, feel a peace. How many of you ever have felt a peace in the midst of a calamity, in the midst of a tormentous thing that around you? Oh, suddenly you felt a peace. It is because the angels of God are surrounding you. Are you listening to me? They're angels of fire with swords ready drawn on any demon that would want to approach this mighty bought servant of God. He has been purchased by the blood of Jesus. Anybody dare touch them? There is angels of God and chariots of fire that surround you. Can you pray like Elisha that God will open up our eyes and see our positions? If God will really show us our positions where we ought to stand so that we can make intercession and encourage other people who are downcast, we will not even waste time talking about other people. We would be picking up the phone and asking, calling, I have not seen you in a while. What is going on, my sister? I've been praying for you. I've been thinking about you. I've been telling God something about you. That is our mission as the church. Hello? Hello? That is our mission as a church. When you have not seen somebody in the church, you ought to pick up the phone. If you don't have the number, call me. I'll give you the number. Some of you have an excuse. You know, I don't have a database, and I'm fearing calling a pastor. That is the devil telling you to fear. Call me. I'll give you the number. Call your sister. Call your brother. Ask them how they are doing. Are you listening to me? Today we have families that are not here. Do we know, unless God tells us what is happening to them, do we know where they are? Maybe they are under the weather. Some of them, maybe their car broke down. Maybe it could be a sick child. What if we don't call them and find out what is happening? What if we find out what is happening and we kneel down and pray for them? Is God not going to give them deliverance? That is our responsibility, church. Now listen, and I'm winding on this one, and then we'll continue next time. Whenever you ask something from the Lord, I told you last week that God is not like a human being who, when a child asks for a, you know, he says in his word, do you think I'm so immoral? If you, as fathers of this earth, your children ask you for bread, do you give them a stone or something like that? Yeah? How does it say, Pastor? Bread, stone, and then fish, serpent. Yeah. So when your children ask you for fish, you don't give them serpent, right? So do you think I'm so immoral? So this is what I want you to know. When you ask something from the Lord, he releases it the first day. Of course, when he checks out your attitude, your purpose for asking it, he will release it the first day. But when that answer is given, he is given to an angel to come and deliver it to you. But in the spiritual realm, the enemy is fighting for you not to receive that answer. How do we know it? You read about Daniel. Daniel, chapter number what? Chapter number 10, 12, 14. This is going to be our last scripture. Then he continued, Daniel 10, 12 to 14. This is what the Bible says. Then he continued, this is the angel now, and he tells Daniel, please do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day, somebody says the first day. So that tells us, since the first day that you pray, when everything is right according to you and you're telling God, God, I need to expand my life. I need to expand my territory. God, my finances are not enough. Lord, can you give me a way of how I can expand my life so that I can have a financial change in my life? When you tell God that, the first day he releases an answer. Okay? Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. Somebody said your words were heard. And I have come in response to them. This is the angel telling him, I have come in response to those words. In other words, I have been sent by God with your answer in my hands. I was sent the first day that you prayed to God and asked God to give you understanding and knowledge about what was happening among the children of Israel. Me, as the angel of God, was handed over your response by God to give to you. But he is speaking this to Daniel 21 days later. So what happened? Let's see. But the prince of the Persian kingdom, say the prince of the Persian kingdom. This is representative of demonic principalities and authorities in the heavenly places. Resisted me 21 days. Okay? Then Michael, one of the chief princes or one of the archangels, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. Praise the Lord. Now, if you understand this concept about the prayer of Daniel, it will deliver you. It will completely. How many of you have prayed for certain things and you have taken that too long a time? You know, you ask God, let me tell you. We prayed over something with a friend of mine. I won't even tell you who. But sometimes he trusted God. You know, God, I would like you to give me this thing, you know. But this guy is a faithful guy. He's a friend of mine. You know, he's really have a tender heart. And, you know, he is really outgoing. He'll do anything for you, you know. You know those friends who are really, they don't have anything in their heart. They just want to, you know, they just want to help you. If you have a problem, if it's within their means, they're going to help you. So this guy calls me and he tells me, oh, you know, Pastor, I really need your help. And I said, for you, even if I have anything else lined up, I will stop anything because you are my friend. And so we go, and lo and behold, something that he has been trusting God for some time miraculously connects the dots. Like, you know, you won't even believe it. You know, this thing happens, and the other connects with this, and this connects with this, and this connects with this, and this connects. We are talking of less than a week what he has dreamt for many months. Amen? My encouragement to you is this. Whatever you have prayed to God and told God, do not give up. Keep on praying. Maybe through your prayers, you will antagonize the angel who has your answer so that he can deliver that answer to you and you to be manifested.
Am I helping somebody here tonight? Am I helping somebody? So do not give up. Many times we fail to receive because we prayed. And I'm going to show you that video maybe next Sunday by the one. You prayed and God released an answer. But maybe in the 10th day, you know, you say, God, I'm still waiting. Oh, God, I'm still waiting. God, I'm still waiting. God, I'm still waiting. God, please help me. Oh, Lord, release that answer. I release that answer. Second day, oh, God, release answer. 10th day, God, I release answer. The 11th day, oh, I think God was not really willing to give it to me. I think I'm going to just wait for the next cycle. Now, what happens? That gift, if it is a job, the enemy takes that job. He snatches it from literally something that was intended for you. He picks it up. And you know what he does? He uses to entice. He uses the same thing. He uses those because the devil doesn't have anything of his own. So he uses that. He comes and finds somebody who is really, really, really waiting, really wanting, oh, how can I serve? How can I progress? And maybe this is somebody who is really has an influence to so many people. If he can have that job, he can influence so many people for the devil. And the devil tells you, see, I have a job. I have a job here for you. I'm making you a secretary of state. Eh? Did you even dream of this? But that secretary of state job was actually prayed for by a Christian. But they never persisted. But the devil took it. And he said, I'm going to use this for my own good. There are so many things that the devil does that in the heavenly places. So my prayer to you today is when you ask God, if you're not very sure, if you're not interested in things, don't ask. Because when you ask God to give it to you, he will give it to you. And it is, God, he's going to give an angel, but he's going to wrestle in the heavenly places. So if you do not end up receiving that gift, you do not persist in it, it is going to be used for the sake of the devils. You ask for a child and somebody, you asked for a child many, many years ago. There are people who have asked for children. And God gave them the children. But that child was, you know, said, no, I'm not. The devil picks up that child. Yeah? Those child are uses. If you do not persist in what you ask God, that gift that God intended for you is used by the devil to propagate his own purposes. Maybe through child sacrifices, through other emotions. Let me tell you, you won't believe what happens in the spiritual realm until you have faith and knock and tell God to open up your eyes. So if you're not really sure and interested for a gift, don't ask for it. What you are? If you do not really are interested in anything, do not ask for it. Because if you do not persist in getting it, it will be used in the other. Riam, stand on your feet. I'm sorry. I went past my time. This is spiritual warfare. Father, I pray that your word, Father, is a light. The entrance of your word bringeth light. Father, I pray that in the midst of a dark area in our hearts, Father, that your light will shine and bring to bear the things that we need to understand at this time. I know that we are spiritual beings, Lord. We are sons and daughters of the kingdom. You've given us victory over the wiles and the schemes of the devil. We overcome the devil by the blood of Jesus and by the word of our testimony. You've also have given us an armor, which you're going to see very soon what it all means about putting on the whole armor of God. Father, I pray that these daughters and sons that you've talked to me about many, many times, Lord, you shall enrich them one by one. Person to person in the name of Jesus. Unveil your oracles into their hearts. Lord, my business is just to speak the word, but the Holy Spirit takes that word and really drills it, cements it into the corners of their hearts. Holy Spirit, I beg you, sir, that you may do so to each one and every one of us. Help us to arise to a position to realize who we are in you. That you've called us to be beings who are supposed to propagate the gospel. Tell others and encourage others about your kingdom. We give you glory and honor. I pray for every single one of us here, Lord. Cover them by the blood. Put a hedge of protection round about them
about their children, about their families, about their extended families in the name of Jesus. That in the course of exposing the devil, if he sends assaults, Lord, I render any one of those assaults powerless in the name of Jesus. That none of them, Lord, shall be a target of the devil. And when the devil aim at them, Lord, raise their antennas, Lord, even to see when those arrows are sent out to them. Thank you, Heavenly Father. These are sons and daughters of the kingdom. It would be a disgrace for me, Lord, even to not tell them that they are highly favored of the Lord. And it is an honor for me even to stand before them, Lord, and declare your word to them. Who am I, Lord? I humble myself before you. Let that word, Lord, be cemented on the floor of their hearts in the name of Jesus. That every time, Lord, it will bring a sweet aroma, Lord, even to their lives when they are faced with difficult situations. To know that they are surrounded by a mighty army in the spiritual realm in the name of Jesus. Being in that mood of prayer, you might be here, you've never given your life to Jesus, and you're saying, this is the day. The moment you give your life to Jesus, he saves you by grace through faith in the Son of God. And you receive a measure of faith, and you're able to conquer the devil through the blood of Jesus and the word of your testimony. Is there anybody who is here who wants to give their lives to Jesus? Hallelujah. Father, bless your people. Even as they go home, Lord, may you pave their ways. Let your light illuminate through their path in the name of Jesus. Whatever design schemes and methodology of the devil that is schemed against each one of them, I thwart it and render it powerless in the name of Jesus. Let us see the goodness and the greatness of our God. For in us we are victors, more than conquerors. And no wiles of the devil will prevail against us, because we are the church of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Somebody who loves him, shout a big amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you.